This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We obviously have to figure out a way to get a win on the road. You know, we haven't figured that formula out just yet. And, but all we can do at this point is gather ourselves and get back to work. We got a home game against the New England Patriots. We got to get a win for sure. It's a must win.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you guys for another hour, leading you right into Dustin Rhodes for the pregame show. Then after that, Mully and Hall got you covered. They got a couple great guests for you. Maybe some people you heard of. Maybe. I don't know. DJ Moore, you know that guy? Olin Krutz, you know him? Yeah, they're going to be on with Mully and Hall. DJ Moore will be on at 8. Olin Krutz will be on at 7. And I'm sure if you're up at this hour, I mean, there's a small percentage probably going home, but the majority are going to be up. So make sure you're here for the whole day. Bernstein and Harris, they have Anthony Heron and Dan Weeder at 11 and 12. Then Spiegel and Holmes, they got Kurt Warner at 3, Mark Grody at 4, Jalen Johnson at 5. The goods happening all day today here on 670 The Score. Kevin Byard mentioned, you know, it's a must-win game next week. One of the most overused phrases in sports. When is it a must-lose? Never. Right? It's never a must-lose situation, so it's always a must-win. But Drake May, 29, he threw 41 passes as well for 29 completions, but he had 8 rushes for 95 yards. Won me some good money yesterday, too. They have a good defense. It's going to be tough. It's not going to be an easy matchup, I'll tell you that. It's going to be tough. But, you know, again, it's a must win because of how frustrating the losses have been. Coach Wonstadt said it on the Marquee Network. Shout out to Marquee Network for that Kevin Byard clip. He said, I've seen a loss turn into 2 before, where the loss carries over and it gets into your soul, and then you end up losing the next one as a result of it. And that's what happened here. So that's why, you know, there is frustration surrounding this game. There is tons of frustration surrounding this game, and it's not just with the final score. There are other things. So what is that for you? 312-644-6767. Let's go out to the phone lines. Bryce out in northern Indiana. What's going on, man? Welcome to the show.
Therapist Ramirez.
You know it.
Thank you for listening to all of us gripe tonight. So my biggest issue is that Ryan Poles has not stripped Flusi of his D.C. duties.
That's a great point.
We've got Eric Washington. It looks like Flusi is so hyper-focused on the defense that he misses, you know, trumping Shane Waldron on some stupid bonehead plays like last week in Washington, the Doug Kramer call. He should have called a timeout right there and looked at him and said, what are you doing?
You're fired.
We're not doing that play. I mean, seriously, though, right? I mean, at this point, we give up 29 yesterday, so now his D.C. abilities should be in question. I know we were injured, but, I mean, it's time for Poles to be the manager and just strip Flusi from his play-calling duties. Let Eric Washington shine. I mean, we know the Bears don't fire head coaches midseason.
Right.
So, I mean, that's kind of a solution, maybe. What do you think?
I love it. I mean, Bryce, I mean, that's the best one I've heard all evening or morning, because you're right. We're about solutions, not problems. And there was one, I'm not sure if you saw it or if you could think back to it, Bryce, where they showed Washington and Flusi having a conversation. And granted, I mean, I work in stadiums too, and I know they can take clips and play them whenever they want to play them. But they showed that during an offensive possession, right? And all I could think about during that moment was Flusi is supposed to be focused on the offense. Like you mentioned, you know, consulting with Waldron about what should be called on offense, right? But his attention is being divided because, as he should, Washington is consulting Flusi on some things about the defense and maybe what direction they want to go on the next defensive, next time the defense is out there. So here's Flus with his attention being split in that moment where I'm thinking he should be watching the offense, but I sure as hell want to pay attention to the defense. And to your point, you know, maybe that is the solution. And I can't remember who it was, but I know Spiegel and Holmes had a guy on. I can't remember who it was, and I'm sad, sorry about that. But he mentioned how difficult, how a lot of coaches do it. They run both, right? They run both, but it is very difficult to do.
Well, look at the coaches now in the NFL that do it. You can only name maybe a few, right? I mean, you got McVay, Andy Reid, Belichick was known to do it. But
there's a lot. You got Mike McDaniels out there doing both. I mean, you got a lot of defensive coaches. They're either calling offensive plays and then leaving defense to their coordinators, or calling defensive plays and then doing the opposite there, right? So there's a handful of them that are doing it. But I love the idea, because if you are, like, you want zero excuses when you fire Flus. Right? Zero.
Right.
And I don't want you to say, well, man, you know, I had to fire Allen, and then I had to do things myself, and I was doing it on the fly, and then I brought a guy. Like, no. I want no excuses. I want you to be able to say, hey, I was in charge of this team. I had the coordinators that I hired, and, you know, they were calling the, like, that's what I want. But you're right. I think that's to take something off of his plate. But here, let me ask you this. If they did that, do you think, I know that we're coming up with a solution as opposed to a firing, but is that the solution?
I don't believe so. If we want to go back to the offseason last year, I think they should have. You had a previous caller, the Dallas fan up in Wisconsin, saying we should have wiped the slate clean, because we do have a lot of quarterback carryovers from coaching staff to coaching staff, starting, you know, Trubisky, Fields, and all that. I think we should have done that last season. That way, if they went out and throw the bank at Harbaugh, he could have picked his quarterback, blah, blah, blah. But that ship has sailed. So I guess I'm just looking at right now what can happen now. But so, we got to go a different direction in the offseason for sure.
All right, so let's say this last question I got for you, Bryce. Let's say Bears come out, beat the Patriots, and then after that they got the Packers. And let's say they, you know, figure it out. Like, you know, things just get, you know, I don't know, tighter, right? They start doing the simple things. And they're 6-4. Are you singing the same tune after that?
Still singing the same tune. Yeah, but I think he showed me enough. I mean, look at last season where they had to get rid of the running backs coach, the DC at the time. There's clearly some issues going on.
Yeah.
Where I think Matt Eberflus, to me, I told this to my best friend. He's a big Bears fan also. I said, to me, he's like that parent that wants to be your best friend and not your parent. I think he's too busy trying to be buddy-buddy, giving people nicknames like on Hard Knocks. He's trying to be your buddy and not the coach, right? Not all great coaches are loved, but they are respected.
Yeah.
And he's losing the respect of this team.
It's a fine line to walk, Bryce, and I appreciate the phone call. And I think that I don't want to give him grace, but to try to better understand the difficulties that Coach Eberflus is dealing with, to that point specifically about being a player's coach, which a lot of people talk about, he's coming into a situation where he's trying to win the locker room over initially, because he felt like he was starting from scratch with the team, right? Where he had a squad, then Paul strips it, and then he's trying to build this culture from the beginning, and then quickly inherits a team that people feel like should be above 500. Right? From being below 500 his first 3 years, he quickly gets this team that people are like, all right, better do what you got to do. You got the talent now. Let's see you coach. And now he's trying to make that transition from getting everyone to buy into what he's doing to being that authoritative head coach that you kind of need in order to have a top-tier team in the league. It's tough. It's interesting. This is a great call, Bryce. I'll be on the next couple of weeks. I hope you call back in again so we can continue this conversation about the Chicago Bears. It's Gabe Ramirez here with you on 670 The Score, hanging out with you till 5 o'clock. Dustin Rhodes taking over after that. He got the pregame. That's going to lead you right into Mully and Hall, and then all day today, just great guests, great hosts. This is the place to be to let out your frustration or to listen to some good insight as to what happened on the Bears game yesterday. Let's go to Colin out in Florida. Colin, you got another solution for this head coaching situation. Tell me what it is.
Well, Gabe, I think you've done such a good job this night and this morning. I think you may just enjoy this thought exercise. Put the let's get rid of Flus.
Okay, I'm here. I'm following you.
Loved respected person in the locker room, the head coach.
DJ Moore?
Play from Vart. Maybe. Mercedes Lewis.
Ah!
He, you know, do old Varsity Blues.
The wily veteran. Get a little, pull, bust out a little whipped cream with your Varsity Blues reference. Bust out a little whipped cream. I'll say this.
I don't know if you can. But.
I know. I'll say this. How frustrated were you when you saw Mercedes Lewis get the false start penalty?
Yeah. They're as frustrating as the disconnect with DJ and the whole everyone, but seems like Rome. He's forcing Keenan, and it's head scratching.
Yeah, it's almost like he has Caleb Williams has his guys to go to in different scenarios, right? He's like 3rd and 5, I go to Keenan Allen. This is what I do here.
Right.
First, second down.
And I think that drop was
It was heartbreaking. Right. I mean,
it was also a big point swing too, because then also we get the potential, even if we get the field goal, it's later in the half, that big run play more than likely doesn't happen. You know, that was one of the big game changing moments, in my opinion.
Did you have a different mindset going into the game because of all the defenders that were going to be inactive?
I mean, Gordon and Brisker out was, and Sweat was like, oh gosh, you know, this isn't good. But I just read something while being on hold for you. Flus has blown a lead. I don't know if this is true, but blown a lead in the last minute of a game 24 times in his entire career.
No way.
Going as a DC. Yeah, I don't know if it is. I read an article being on hold while just sitting here. So that's
tag me in it on social media so I can read it too, because I need that little gem right there. But hey, Mercedes Lewis, you never know. You never know. The reason why we brought that up, so the exercise all evening long has been, you know, I understand you want Coach Flus fired. I get it. You don't like what he's doing. But what's the solution, right? It's people have been saying, somebody called earlier and said, yeah, you fire Flus. And I said, well, who do you bring in? Or who do you give those duties to? And he's like, well, Ron Rivera. I said, no, you can't bring in just some random guy to just, you know, be in charge of the team. It's got to be somebody from within the organization that's been around since training camp. That's why you usually have coordinators do it. But who's going to be your coordinator? Shane Waldron? Like, are you going to fire Flus and let Shane Waldron be the head coach? Of course not.
Well, how about a former player who's recently, you know, removed from the game? Go the Colts route. Just get Jeff Saturday.
Oh, hell no. You got Olin Krutz running the team. But see, that's what happens. Like, okay, if you fire, this conversation doesn't matter if the Bears are 5-8. Because then it's like, all right, who cares? I don't care who's running the team. Just put the schedule out every week of what time people are supposed to be where, right? I think that in the present, some think that the season is still salvageable when they mention firing Flus. Salvageable, and where you might still be able to sneak in, or you might be able to win some of these games that you've been losing, and that's the difficult part. But again, it's just frustrating through and through. Let's go back out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Let's go to Lance out in Crest Hill. Lance, talk to me about this game. A lot of frustrating moments.
Well, yes and no. Frustration comes in the Bears play mediocre football, organization-wise, in terms of decision-making. They are afraid to play to win. If you have injuries on defense and offense and so on, you play with what you have and you play to win. I'm about playing to win. We don't need any more reasonable excuses why we couldn't do this, Caleb couldn't do that. You play to win. That's called creativity. Seems like to me, in our division, those coaches play to win. So where's the Bears organization? One caller said that Ryan Poles is a fine GM. He's not. He's just mediocre. And with that being is, the Bears organization itself is mediocre. That's why they are afraid of Jim Harbaugh or Kingsbury. They are afraid of uncomfortability to win. This is a Bears town, and the Bear and the fans love the Bears. Win or lose, they're the lovable Bears. Cubs, lovable Cubs. Bears are no different. And we are frustrated because we are winners. So I say, play to win. Whatever that means, play to win. If you got to bring someone off the practice squad, bring them off the practice squad. That's how you know. That's how you know who's going to help or contribute to a Super Bowl someday. You know, maybe before the century's out. But the point being is, it's not the Bears players itself. It's what you, the theme is, it's the coaching. And you said, or you asked, what would you do if you replaced the, who would you replace the Bears? I said, no one. Just play out the year the way, that's it. Because all we're doing is passing on that philosophy to the other guy. So, no, you're right. Who can we do that to? See, we're being mediocre again. We're being comfortable. Wipe clean at the end of the year and do what you got to do.
So, Lance, in your mind, Lance, yeah. There's no salvaging what is in front of us in the present?
The answer is yes. None at all. Here's the lesson. The lesson is we learn how to not be mediocre. Mediocrity is not my forte. Is it yours, Gabe?
No, not at all. Not at all.
So where's the Bears organization mediocrity? Ryan Poles. Why do you say that? He's the one on paper making up the roster. On paper. So he must be mediocre. Remember, he was an offensive lineman. Mediocre. So, duh.
That's
help
a great
me out
call.
Here.
I hear you. Okay. You're bringing up some great points.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Thanks for the call, Lance. I mean, these are great points. There is a theme of mediocrity littered throughout the Chicago Bears organization. I like Mike McCaskey. He's a nice guy. I see him all the time in the parking lots and everything like that. But does he strike me as some, like, bona fide go-get-it winner? Or is he like a, you know, like good, you know, good guy? You know, all right. You know what I'm saying? Flus comes in, no head coaching experience, good defensive coordinator. All right, yeah, cool. Ryan Poles wasn't the winner, but worked for the winning organization. I get what Lance is saying. Bring in the winner. Enough of this, bring in somebody because we're the Bears and take us to the promised land. Fall within our color, within our lines, and then take us there. No. No, you need someone that's going to break the mold. And I think that's what the Bears were trying to do. This go-round with Ryan Poles, Coach Flus, how they've constructed the team up until this point. Just so much more than that, right? It's not a video game. It's not just putting guys on a roster on a paper and then expecting victories. It's tough. All right, want to take more phone calls. 312-644-6767. Going to be getting your call, Andrew Mack, in just a second. Got some other lines open. Make sure you guys get your call in because, I mean, whether it's third down conversions, Bears were 3-for-14, missed opportunities, putting field goals instead of touchdowns. You know, what's the real problem with this Bears offensive scheme? We're opening up the lines to see what you think needs change for this team to score big. Again, 312-644-6767. Your call's next. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hello. You play to win the game.
Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you. You heard our guy right there. Is that Herm Edwards?
Herm Edwards.
Got a chance to talk to Herm Edwards a couple weeks ago. Great stuff. Shout out to Lance. Still thinking about his call. It was a great call. Probably one of my favorites today. One of. There were a lot of good calls today. Still Frank. Got about... Great what?
Frank.
Frank the which one? Who was which one?
He was the one that went on for like 6-7 minutes about.
Oh yeah.
He, I mean, he was
good though.
Bryce
was good. We've had some good ones, man.
Yeah, we have.
But the calls aren't done. Still got over a half an hour here listening to you guys. I've been calling myself Therapist Gabe today. Therapist Gabe. I have my pen and my notepad. I've been taking down notes on everything you guys are saying. I'm letting you vent. I'm validating your feelings. I'm asking you how things feel. Because there's a large level of frustration surrounding this Bears game. And it's not just because of the final score. Bears fall to the Arizona Cardinals 29-9. After losing the Hail Mary heartbreak. Just tough. Tough all the way around. But we'll be talking about it all day here on 670 The Score. Great guests lined up for you as well. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Dustin Rhodes taking care of you. William Dustin Rhodes. He leads you to Mully and Haw at 5:30 to 10. They got Olin Krutz at 7. That's going to be awesome. DJ Moore at 8. Brad Biggs at 9. Then Bernstein and Harris on from 10 to 2. They got two guests that you want to be listening to. Anthony Herron, my guy. I miss Anthony Herron, man. I haven't hung out with him in a minute. He's on at 11. Dan Weider at 12. Then Spiegel and Holmes. They got Kurt Warner at 3. Mark Grody at 4. And then Jalen Johnson at 5. Again, all happening today on the Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. Just keep it here. Don't go anywhere else. All right, taking some phone calls, though. Still got a lot of things to get off my chest. I know you guys do, too. A lot of frustrating stuff happening with this game yesterday, but the score wasn't the most frustrating. What was it for you? Let's go to Andrew out in Naperville. Andrew, first of all, I appreciate you waiting, man. We've had a lot of calls today, but I wanted to make sure I got to you.
That's fine. I think one thing I take away from the loss to last week to Washington is I'm afraid there's been a sort of a toxic element has invaded the Bears locker room. I think there's a pall, and it has affected everything. It has affected every element of the game yesterday.
Andrew, let me ask you this. What's at the root of the toxicity? Right? Because I agree with you. I feel like there's something, some venomous thing that's creeping into the locker room. And it could just be, you know, correlated to the losses. But in your mind, what's at the root of that toxicity?
Okay, I would say the sting of the that loss to Washington. I mean, there's probably some elements, there are some elements that happened before that, obviously. But I think this was the deal breaker. This brought it to the head. When you said same old Bears earlier, I thought of, because I'm originally from New York area, so I thought of same old Jets. And that Hail Mary pass reminded me 30 years ago of, I don't know if you remember, Dan Marino's fake spike pass.
Yeah, one of the iconic plays.
Okay, that happened and it resulted in a stunning company behind loss for Miami. And the Jets lost their final five games after that. And I feel, I don't know if this will happen to the Bears, but that fake spike thing just, I think, killed their motivation, took the wind out of their sails, even in the ensuing games. And I think that something needs to be done to immediately to reverse this toxicity that's existing in Bears camp.
Andrew, do you feel like winning can cure it, though? Is that the answer? Is that the solution?
Yes, it can cure it, of course, yes. I don't know if it's going to happen with the current coach. I don't know. Maybe you could start, the Bears could start doing research and have somebody waiting in the wings if they continue losing. But I don't know the solution. I don't have a simple answer. But I'm afraid this is going to snowball. I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know if you remember the miracle of the Meadowlands, where Herm Edwards, who just played, picked up a fumble. That the Giants had the victory, and they coughed it up in the worst way. This also started a long losing streak for the Giants. So I think this is establishing. I think this could be a pattern that one bad loss can trigger other losses.
Yeah, let's hope that, you know, two losses don't turn to three. And that's what Coach Wonstadt was saying on the Marquee Network yesterday. He was alongside Elise Menneker. Shout out Elise. And, you know, he was saying he's seen that happen before, where one loss lingers over too much and then it trickles into the next game. And it's just frustrating when you hear that happening to the Chicago Bears, because it's something that Flus preaches every single game. You have 24 hours to enjoy it, 24 hours to soak in, and then you got to move on. But he's not the only one that mentioned something about it. Caleb Williams talked about it as well. And, you know, they asked him about the week, you know, what could they have done better, you know, to get back. He pointed out specifically that the Bears were unable to bounce back faster. But it's the words he chose that make the cut stand out more to me.
I think early on in the week, I think we could have done better overall of bouncing back after that. I know it's a tough loss. It's tough regardless of, you know, who you are in the facility. If you're out there making plays or if you're making decisions up top. You know, being better at that, understanding that, you know, we have many more games left after that. Been able to, you know, be one, be a family, and move on from that, and have the right leaders, and which we do. We have the right guys to do, you know, things like that, which is bounce back from something like that. And we got to do it this week.
Would you say be better? You just mean move on quicker?
Yeah, we gotta be better and move on quicker. We gotta you know, have that 24-hour period, and from there move on.
I'm telling you, man, everybody was cautious with their words at the podium. Caleb Williams caught himself twice and cleaned it up in real time in that statement. I mean, it's just, got to just listen to what people are saying. They're telling you what they're telling you the truth. You just got to listen for it.
They're saying a lot without saying a lot.
I heard it.
They are the masters at doing that.
Let's go out to the phone lines. I want to know what you heard, what you felt. Therapist Gabe here for another half hour. Again, it's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Got a great lineup for you all day today. After 5 o'clock, Dustin Rhodes jumps on, leads you into Mully and Haw, and then things just keep rolling from there. But you got a half hour left in your session. So you can utilize that now. You can do it via text or phone, 312-644-6767. There's frustration outside of the final score. That is not the most frustrating thing from this game. What is it for you? Let's go to Mac out on the west side. Mac, what is more frustrating than the final score of the game for you?
Thank you again. Like I said, you people that's in position to call ownership out seem to be afraid to do that. You know, like I said, you put a mediocre team on this field, what you gonna get? Mediocre results. You know, who is Matt Eberflus? What coaching experience do he have? You know, how can, in that Hail Mary play, they didn't nobody know what was going on last week because they never faced that situation before. You know, go out and get quality leadership and you're going to have good results behind it. But nobody seemed to point that out to ownership. And I imagine people are afraid of their job or whatever, but I don't know. Somebody got to call a spade, you know?
When I was watching the game yesterday, Mac, I still felt like there was hope for the team when I was watching that first half. Before the 50-yard touchdown, I thought, man, you know, can they pull it out? Can they pull it out? Can they pull it out? And then it just got to a point where it just seemed overwhelming. Like, the whole game was just too much for the Bears yesterday. Did you feel that way?
like I say, when you don't have that kind of experience, you know, you don't know what to do in tough situations. But, you know, you need to go out and get somebody that have leadership experience and stop putting, you know, this mediocre coaches, you know, to lead a number one quarterback. What good is a number one quarterback and you ain't got nobody with experience to lead him?
That's a great point.
It destroys the young man before his career gets started. And I just feel sorry for Caleb Williams. They are no better off than when they had Justin Fields without addressing the offensive line. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course, Mac. I appreciate it. I think something that stood out to me this season, and there's been a couple of moments watching it. One happened with Justin Fields. One happened with Anthony Richardson. And it was that after a poor performance by both of those quarterbacks, when they went back to the sideline, Justin Fields was able to talk to Russell Wilson and Anthony Richardson was able to talk to Joe Flacco. And then I see the Bears, and when Caleb gets back to the sidelines, it's him by himself with his head in the air, right? I think that is the biggest, like, that's the biggest miss, where I get it. You like Tyson Bagent. People like him. Good backup. Get it. But damn, it would have been nice to just have some sort of veteran presence that played the position, right? Even if it was a quarterback coach, because the quarterback coach we have now, I believe he played in the CFL. He was like the MVP over there. Something like that. Like bounced around in the league, but like as a wide receiver for a little bit. You know, not. It would have just been nice to have someone that you can just talk to. Get onto the sideline, be like, yeah, Caleb, it happens, man. Sometimes there's going to be games out there, you know, or hey, I saw this. Like, just some little small nuance that you can pass down to Caleb Williams. That's the one part I feel like that was a miss for the Chicago Bears, because he is, because there's too much expectation placed on Caleb Williams right now in the present. Too much. We need you to be a top five quarterback right now, Caleb. We need you to put 30 points on the board, Caleb. We need you to come back from, you know, these deficits, Caleb. It's just, it's so much. We need you to, you know what, we're going to throw it on first down, Caleb. Throw it on second and third. Hell, let's just throw it the whole game, 41 times. Why not? It's just too much. And I think if they just dumb down the play calling, make it more basic. Okay, and it's not going to be sexy, but so what? If there's a W at the end of the game, so what? If the Bears win 15-12, I don't care. It'd be a dub, and at least they'd be winning the right way, leaning on the run the same way the Arizona Cardinals did yesterday when they realized that Jalen Johnson and Tyrique Stevenson were very good at their job. We're not going to be able to throw the ball this way. So you know what? Hey, you know, this is working. I don't care if it's 6, 7, 8 times in a row. Let's keep running the ball. There was one. I'm going to go pull this up before I get back out to the phone line. There was this one. I know I took a note on it. And it was, okay, here we go. Great. I think it was, okay. Bears get the ball. They had a first down. They passed. But then Williams was running around. They get a couple of, they get a first down. A couple of first downs. Then Roschon Johnson comes in. This is before the end of the first half. Roschon Johnson comes in on first down. And I loved that play. I put a big highlight next to it. Why? Because the Bears had several plays already on this drive. And I felt like a Roschon Johnson run on first down was smart because it punished the defense. That made sense to me. It punished them. They're tired. You feel like you're going to have some momentum. Then on second down, this was interesting. It looked like a run play was called, but then Caleb Williams audibles out of it. Defense adjusts. The middle's wide open. They end up passing, and it ends up failing because it's something happens there. Then on third down, another incomplete pass, but they get bailed out with an offsides penalty that gives them the first down. First down comes again, and you would think, make them pay again. Give the ball to Roschon Johnson. Make second and third down easier for Caleb Williams. Nope, pass. Second down, pass. A miss to Roma Dunze. Third down, a pass to Keenan Allen that's missed. That's the part that I'm talking about, the difference. Arizona sees that the run's working, they stick with it. They see that they're punishing the Bears' defense that's decimated by injuries, and they continue to make them pay. Man, Bears could have did it. Could have made them pay. All right, I want to give you guys an opportunity to chime in, call in, so that way we can get your final thoughts. Therapist Gabe here holding things down. Got three more clients that I'm going to get you. Just three, though. All right, maybe four. 312-644-6767. It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Dustin Rhodes coming up at 5, leading you into Mullionhaal. Then, of course, the rest of the slate, we got some great guests. I'll tell you all about it on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
And an all-star lineup all day long today on 670 The Score. Coming up in just a little bit more than 15 minutes, Dustin Rhodes going to get you with the pregame show leading you into Mullionhaal. They have three good guests. Alden Krutz jumping on at 7, DJ Moore at 8, Brad Biggs, 9. Then Bernstein and Holmes jump on from 10 to 2. They got Anthony Heron at 11, Dan Weider at 12. Then Spiegel and Holmes, Bernstein and Harris. Then Spiegel and Holmes come on. They got Kurt Warner at 3, Mark Grody at 4, and then I call it appointment radio. Jalen Johnson, 5 o'clock. He has zero hair on his tongue. Ese tipo no tiene pelo en esa lengua. He does not have hair on his tongue, and he will let you know how it is at 5 o'clock, so make sure you're here for it here on 670 The Score. I want to take a couple more phone calls. I've been asking people. I said, you know, if you want Flus to get fired, you got to come up with a solution, right? And you can't bring in somebody from the outside. That's not going to happen. That's not how this thing works. So I said, who could take over the duties? And then somebody texted in, and I loved it. He said, oh, where did it go? He said basically that here we go. Gabe, FYI, the Raiders fired offensive coordinator Luke Getsy, their O-line coach, the quarterback coach today. Who do they bring in? I don't know, but they don't care. They just dismissed everybody. The difference between where the Bears are at in the present, in my example, is that the Bears are still 500. Obviously, the Raiders season is done, right? Now, if it gets to that point where the Bears are, let's say, 4-8, 4-9, then yeah. You want a clean house? Who cares who's calling the plays or who's doing it?
Oh, you're talking about 5-7 losses in a row.
I didn't say it. You did.
Well, you just said 4-8, 4-9.
All right, let's go back out to the phone lines because
you're about solutions, Gabe.
I am. The fact of the matter is there's a lot of frustrating stuff that happened outside of the final score. The final score was inevitable. You might have stopped watching 7-8 minutes with 7-8 minutes left in the game because you didn't want to see it. But what was that frustrating thing for you? What grinded your gears? Let's go to Jerry out in Manhattan. Jerry, welcome to the show. What was it for you?
Hey, I just think Waldron's got to go. Like, I just, there's, you watch all the press conferences, you watch all these defensive guys get up there and talk. I don't feel like they feel like there's a problem on their side of the ball, you know, and I feel like our offense is just not clicking. And why is that? Like, we're trying to call these, you know, Kansas City Chiefs plays, playbook, and we've got a rookie quarterback, dumb it down and call the plays to win the game.
Yes!
You know, like, what are we doing? What, I mean, we're handing off to an offensive lineman? I mean, come on. Call the play. I mean, everybody knows. I've played football. I've coached football. Like, everybody out there in football world knows you run the ball to open up the passing game. You know, you pass the ball to open up the run game. Like, it's pretty simple basics, and we're trying to make it all complicated because we're trying to be fancy like Kansas City. We're not there yet.
Yep.
We have a rookie quarterback who's a proven winner, who I believe is capable more than Justin Fields. I still like Justin Fields. I think that he could have done the same thing. But then we hired Getsy, tried to get all cute, tried to make it all, you know, look like, you know, shiny things instead of just playing football. We're the Bears. Play Bears football. Run the ball, open up the pass, and throw the ball. I mean, Caleb has shown consistency in those, you know, two-minute drills where we're throwing slants, we're throwing, you know, short passes. If that's going to win us the game, then do that. Why then do we have to we get going down the field and then all of a sudden, well, let's try and throw a 30-yard bomb. Why? It's working. Go with what works.
I agree. I agree with you, Jerry. I think a couple things that you bring up that are really good. I mean, first you said, you know, Shane Waldron got to go, right? And I think to myself, if Shane Waldron has to go, he cannot walk out of that door by himself. Why? Because Flus brought him in after having Luke Getsy and firing him. Because Ryan Poles co-signs on the Shane Waldron. And if the Shane Waldron project or experiment is that bad this soon, he cannot be the only person walking out of the door. And then you mentioned, why isn't the offense working? Right? Like calling the offensive lineman, the fullback run, you know, with Doug Kramer. And when other teams call plays like that, like what you mentioned, the Kansas City Chiefs or maybe the Detroit Lions with Ben Johnson, it's because it's keeping other teams off balance because they don't know what's happening. With the Bears, they're not even there yet because no one knows what the baseline of the Bears is. The assumption is that it's supposed to be what other teams are thinking. Like they're predicting it in advance. But again, you have to start somewhere. You have to start by keeping it basic, then deviate. You got to keep it simple, then do the bigger plays. And
sure,
have,
but how come when you watch a Bears game, okay, I can almost predict to you every play.
Yes,
what's gonna
that's my point. That's exactly what I'm saying.
You watch these other teams, it's like, oh, that's a run play. Nope. Just like today, or just like last night on the game last night, you know, that play that Minnesota had. You know, I thought they were running that ball. Nope. Pass to the tight end.
Yeah.
Like, those are the types of things that, why are we making it so complicated? You know, and I get, like, I feel the frustration. I see Moore out there busting his butt, trying to win, trying to do. I mean, that guy is amazing. We've got an amazing receiver. We've got an amazing quarterback. We've got Keenan Allen. We've got Swift. All these players that have winning track records that every time the ball gets thrown to them, they know they're not open. They know that. I mean, like, they try the best they can, but, like, what are we doing? Like, why? I have never, to me, like you were talking about just a little bit ago, it's like pass, pass, pass. That, like, of course we're going to go three and out every time. I mean, the percentage of that, like, run the ball.
Yeah, you got to have Caleb doing less, not more. And I think that's what you're talking about, the tail end there, right? It's like, can he? Sure. Do you want him doing it all the time? No. Right? And I think you mentioned all the talent that the Bears have. Right. And we can't wrap our minds around how the Bears are this bad. But then it all points to one place, the same place, and that's coaching. Right. Because it's not just us as Bears fans that say, you have DJ Moore, you have Keenan Allen, you got Caleb Williams. It's not just that. Right. It's the players also are saying that. What is going on here? Like, what? We're good. These are good players. These people are capable. But it's not happening. It is frustrating. But again, you gotta, you know, have Caleb do less, not more. I think we're asking way too much out of Caleb Williams this early in his career. Let's go to Ryan out in Whiting. Ryan, who's the first person you want to replace? Who should be walking out the door with Shane Waldron hand in hand?
It's gonna be the offensive line coach. The guy we got rid of that took over for Harry Heathstand, because Harry Heathstand wasn't doing a good job, supposedly.
Chris Morgan?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
That guy. Wasn't he a holdover from the Matt Nagy era?
Yeah, third season as the offensive line coach for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and what's happening with the Bears in the offensive line? They can't pick up blitzes. They can't block the person in front of them. You know, the dude's got to go, man. And
yeah, I mean,
also, Waldron, it seems like, you know, he's learning. He's as hard-headed as Mike Martz, right? Remember that era?
Yeah.
Seven-foot, seven-step drop with the line that can only block for a step or two.
And no need or interest in Greg Olsen.
He's correct. Right. Exactly. Exactly, you know? So, yeah, he's got to go, too. But Flus ain't getting fired. I'm going to tell you that right now. Right. You know why? Because he's a McCaskey.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of things that go into that. But let's talk about the rest of the season. Let's talk about the next couple of weeks. Facing the Patriots, facing the Packers. I mean, in your mind, after what you've seen so far through eight games, what are your expectations for the next two?
We may win New England, and then they're going to black out the rest of the season with Hallmark specials for the nation. And then
if that happens, let
Chicago Nation, you know, just sulk in misery with
Ryan. If the Bears lose those next two games, or like you said, the Bears fan base will just crash out. you know, sulking. You're the biggest crash out you've ever seen. Everyone would just be going crazy in the city of Chicago. But, I mean, it's tough to watch. Somebody said having flu focused solely on game management again, right? That was a good call we got during the day. Let Washington take over, take some stress off of him. But I can't remember who it was that was talking that said, and then they said, somebody said, though, they said, what does Flus do the best? Call the defense. So why would you want to take away from that, right? The best aspect of the Bears is the defense. So why would you want to take those responsibilities away from Flus? So it's kind of like a double-edged sword. But, man, it's tough. All right, give my theme music. I want to thank all the guests for calling today, man. You guys kept us busy. I'm going to be on for the next couple of Sundays, so I hope we continue to build this relationship together. If you felt like this was a safe space with therapist Gabe, then I got you next week. Win or loss, I'm here for you. My couch is open. And maybe we can have some of these conversations again. It's free of charge. Don't worry. It's all paid for by the Chicago Bears. I got you. I want to thank my producer today, Tyler Farrengall, 5 hours strong, holding it down today. Baby T. I said that's his radio name. Who gave you that name? It was me. It's always weird when I go to play your sounder, but it's me playing into your sounder. We got to get you one more. That's not me. So it's not like me talking into me. I got you. That's a good one, though, baby T. Hold on to that. All right, I'm out of here. Dustin Rhodes up next at 5 o'clock. Again, what a great show lined up. If you're looking for two, just two, DJ Moore at 8 a.m., Jalen Johnson at 5 p.m. Lock yourself in all day long here to 670 The Score. And again, mi gente, look forward to seeing you, all right? Hasta la próxima. That means until next time, I am Gabe Ramirez, and this has been a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority, as well as Busey Bank. This is 670 The Score. Enjoy your Monday, ladies and gentlemen.